our Father. What an awesome thought. Adopted, part of a family. Hallowed be thy name. You're different than all others. The gods of our imaginations, the gods of our religion, you are hallowed, holy, perfect, and yet you call us to yourself, to cry out to you, not through any other mediator other than Jesus Christ himself. Thank you for that. May your kingdom come. Forgive us for emphasizing so much each day on our kingdom, even the good things and the comforts. May we be prepared for your coming again, Jesus, and bringing all of what that means. Thank you for your daily provision, for giving us daily bread, more than what we need, and everything we're able to do. May we remember it's all owned by you. You lend, we are borrowers, they are gifts to us. The skills, the minds, the abilities. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for the forever forgiveness, Jesus, you accomplished on that cross for us. Every sin paid for because of your shed blood. Oh, that we would take a bath in that kind of mercy, that those who have offended us, we would be readily forgiving them, releasing them of their debt, because it doesn't compare to our debt toward you, paid in full by Jesus. So lead us and teach us this morning how to pray, how to listen, how to be changed as we are dependent on you. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Please be seated. And as you are, I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We have begun this journey last week. Some call it the Lord's Prayer, some the disciples' prayer, some the model prayer. Jesus was asked by his close disciples. They've watched him now for over 2 years. How he prayed was so different. They could hear him pray. He had a certain place that he would go to, a favorite place. I hope you have one, maybe more than one, and you go there often. There's people who have been gathering here in recent years. They have a place at 9 a.m., and they gather to pray. For us, for you, for our community, there's many certain places that we can gather to pray. You, on your own, we together, with family, with friends. Jesus had that. And they said, teach us to pray, because it's not religious. It's not the way we were taught to repeat many words, to repeat and say the same thing. Your praying is so personal. And that's when Jesus taught them, yeah, it is personal. It begins with Father. And that blew their minds, because they didn't address Holy, Almighty God, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Elohim, as Father. They remembered his character. They remembered his perfection, his all-knowing. And they would go to him with a reverence. And now Jesus saying, Father, you're a child of his. Come to him with such utter dependency and trust as a father. And we walk through the early parts of that prayer. And then today, we finish off verse 4. You notice the title of the message this morning. You see it in the back of your program. Asking and receiving the Father's help in the times of temptation. I asked you a few questions earlier, and you raised your hands. You said, have any of you ever been tempted to do evil? Raise your hand. Some of you are not sure. By not raising your hand, I think you just were tempted to do evil. You weren't transparent and honest. All of us, do you know Jesus was tempted to do evil? Every evil that under the sun. Scripture tells us that. But you know what he didn't do? Fall into it. He didn't sin. Temptation, my friends, is not the problem. We're going to learn what it is. What is the core? What is the root of why? When temptation arises on the scene, it can eat our lunch and defile us. Have us defy God. Have us damage or destroy every relationship, every good thing in our lives. Jesus teaches us. There's an answer. There's a way. There is help when we are tempted. Bruce Wilkinson, in his study, Personal Holiness in Times of Temptation, shares an illustration of two men around the same age, came to Christ around the same time as adults, attended the same church, and they were buddies. And then on a Saturday morning, as they often did, they would head to their local city market, grab a cup of coffee and take a walk by the river and do a little shopping, maybe vegetables. There was other sections where there were wares and trinkets and jewelry and other things out there in an open market. And one particular Saturday, as they went, they got their coffee, coming out of the shop, they turned the corner, and there in front of them, 10 feet away, was this woman, quite attractive, very scantily clothed, immodest. And as she walked, she smiled at them. And as she walked past them, brushing their arms as she walked by, one gentleman, in a split second, as they turned that corner, said, "Whoa, look at the river. Look at the sun on that river. How beautiful that is." And the other gentleman said, "Look at the river. Look at that woman." As he followed her and began to say things and began in his own heart and mind to undress her and say, "I wonder if she's single. I should go run after her and try and get to know her." And his buddy said, "What in the world will you be doing wanting to get to know a woman who dresses that way in public?" And the other guy just kept talking and looking, and his buddy grabbed him and said, "Come on." And they went into the marketplace. And as they were looking, the one guy who noticed the river and the sunshine all of a sudden began to sweat profusely. And he was twitching and just all kinds of nervous. And his buddy saying, "What's going on with you? Are you sick?" He says, "No. But look, they just walked into a market, a room that had jewelry in it. And look at these watches. The case is open. It's lifted. The owner is talking to that client over there. His back is towards us. Quick, get in front of me. Look at these. I can take a couple of these watches right here, and nobody will know." And his buddy's going, "Are you out of your mind? You got more money than I do. You can buy a watch if you want a watch. What is your problem? Let's get out of here." And they walked out. Two guys, similar background, Christians, yet very different temptations. One revealed something in his heart that was unhealthy, and his buddy pulled him away. The other revealed something unhealthy in his heart, and his buddy pulled him away. And so it is with you and I. Our temptations may be different, but it doesn't make them any easier to fight and to win the battle. And we're about to see God says, "I have help, but I need to give you insight to your temptations. Where the problem starts. How to lick it and have victory in it. And how to stay strong in the midst of it." And at times it may include a friend or two. So looking at the text, picking up in verse 4, as we finished half of verse 4 last week, Jesus continues to teach his disciples about prayer, and he says, "And pray, and lead us not into temptation." So he starts out, and he's reminding them, who are they praying to? Father. That was new for them. And he uses the Aramaic word, Abba, talking about that intimate relationship with a father. And fathers, there is something in them that wants to help and to protect their children, especially from temptation. And he's saying, and so is it with your heavenly Father. So pray. Lead us not into, but lead us out of. Give us the escape route. And so now in this text, as we continue in verse 5, Jesus shares two parables, two illustrations of how you and I, those disciples, can be helped in times of temptation. He says in verse 5, and he said to them, this is the first one, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. So he's saying, you have a neighbor, you have a friend. Somebody, a friend of yours, comes to your house in the middle of the night, midnight. He didn't call ahead. There was no cell phone. Traveling at night, as they often did in that climate, because it was cooler, he arrives at your house, the cupboard's empty. And one of the very normal, natural ways to show love and the grace of God in that day was to offer hospitality. Whatever you had, you gave. If you didn't have, it would be shameful for you. But this poor guy, not knowing his buddy would come, went to his neighbor and asked him for 3 loaves. And he's not talking about like 3 loaves of Wonder Bread slice. He's talking about 3 flat pieces of bread that they would use that day. And he's knocking on his neighbor's door. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. So he's saying, and what Jesus is saying is like, would this really happen? Because everybody knew how important hospitality was in that day. But it could be that this guy would say, are you kidding me? Because in those days, the family kind of slept in an open area. It's very much like when we go to Burkina Faso in Africa. There's one big room, and there's mats, and everybody sleeps, and everybody walks over one another, and you can hit them and kick them if you have to go up and go to the bathroom outside in the middle of the night. It's the same kind of deal. And his buddy is saying, what? Everybody's tucked in. Everyone's exhausted. I'm not going to get up and give you bread. That's your problem. But notice the next verse. I tell you, this is Jesus saying, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, interesting words, the only time this is used in the New Testament, it comes from a word that speaks of insensitive, even rude persistence. But because of that man's impudence, His persistence even could be taken as rude because he's knocking on the door at midnight. Joe, I need some food. Leave me alone. Everyone's sleeping. Joe. A couple of Joes just woke up right now that were nodding off. Good. And so he's saying, he'll give it, not because he's your buddy, not because he's following through on the decorum of hospitality. He's given because you just won't shut up. And you keep asking. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Ask for Father in the midst of your temptation. Seek, and you will find. Seek him. Look for the way of escape. Knock, and it will be open to you. That way out, that way of escape in temptation will become clear. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open. All three of these are called or are written in the continuous present imperative, which simply means keep asking. Keep seeking. Don't give up. Keep knocking when the temptation is hot and the fire is coming and you're feeling something rise. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to fall. I'm going to defy God. I'm going to defile myself. I'm going to destroy those whom I love and everything I've built up. Notice verse 10. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who keeps asking, the Father, He'll answer. Everyone who seeks, finds. You're looking for the Father's answer? And to the one who knocks, it will be open. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And then he gives him the second parable, the second illustration. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Like, who would do that? No one. If you then, who are evil, if you, earthly dads, at times you can be lazy, you can be impatient, you just don't want to do for your kids, that's not always your nature. Most of the times you'll do whatever you need, but you would especially, you yourself go without to make sure they have their basic needs. He's saying, and you got an evil nature. You got a sinful nature. And you would do that. Notice what he says. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? For years, I've been perplexed. Why would he, after he teaches him how to pray, and here, and we saw last week, he taught them many times how to pray. I looked through the history of our teaching here at Open Arms. Between Matthew 5 and 6 and this text, we have taught many times how to pray from Jesus' instruction. Do you remember the first time? Well, maybe vaguely. Exactly. That's why we keep coming back to it. That's why I keep coming back to it. That's why Jesus keeps coming back to it. But in this time, he then illustrates when he says, ask God to help you in temptation. The Holy Spirit is a very important, personal, and profound helper in temptation. Let me get the blood flowing. Get out your pen or pencil. Fill some things in your program. What do we see from this verse? We need to reach out for God's protection. Reach out. Reach up for God's protection. He says, and lead us not into temptation. Here are some things about temptation. Five things you and I need to understand about temptation. Number one, temptation's tendency. When we're tempted and we eventually fall, the tendency is to blame something or someone outside of ourselves. Well, if this wasn't done, or if that didn't present ourselves, or if you didn't say this, or if I needed this, or if I wasn't under the stress, or so on and so on, there's a blaming that usually goes on. It goes back to our forefathers way, way, way back. There was one, there were two who were tempted and fell. And when God said, what has gone on here? The woman said, well, that serpent talked to me and convinced me of some things. Thought I could be just like you. So it was the serpent's fault. And you, sir, what tempted you? Well, the woman you gave me. Double whammy blame. Her and the woman the Father gave. And you and I have done the same thing. Whenever we blow it and we're flat on the ground and it's eating our lunch and there's consequence. Well, you don't understand my upbringing. You don't understand the DNA. Or you don't understand how, you know, we needed that. Or you don't understand my needs. Lord's saying, always is it the tendency to blame something outside of us. Secondly, temptation's root. We'll see a verse in a second that says, every root of temptation is because of something ungodly within. A desire that we have within. Temptation's deception is that there'll be limited consequences. We hear a voice from the outside or from within saying, well, I'm not going to go too far. I'm not going to stay too long. This is not going to cost a whole lot. How deceived we are. Notice what James says in James chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. In other words, don't be an Adam. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted, notice this, when he is lured. Some of you are fishermen, fisherwomen. You know about lures. There are particular rivers, streams, bodies of water, fresh water, ocean, salt water, where a particular lure is very attractive to a particular kind of fish. And so there are lures, and each one is lured. All of a sudden, there's a look. There's thinking that goes on in the mind. And then all of a sudden, notice, lured and enticed. There's a lingering, there's a staying, there's a contemplating. Ooh, look at, I wonder. And it begins to occur. But notice, the luring and the enticement by one's own desire. There's a passion, a lust within for the ungodly thing. It's in us, at the core and the root of us. That's why one guy, passion the attractive woman, can just see her like everybody sees her. And yet, there's the lure. He's not enticed. He chooses not to be enticed because there's not a desire within him to bite down. But the other guy, the lore, the thinking, what's in the heart comes out of the mouth, and he's all in and he's ready to bite down. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. You see the luring, the enticing, and the desire, there isn't sin yet. The opportunity that knocks on the door, you even thinking about it, it isn't sin yet. Oh, sins could be real close, and there are some sins that are just in the mind that are never carried out. And Jesus says, oh, it's just as if you'd sin. But in most situations, there's still a chance out. But once it's conceived, it gives birth to sin, to missing the mark, to missing God's desire, to missing his best for you and I. It may be small, it's just begun, but it's happened. We're only kissing. We're only making out. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to go any farther. It's conceived. It has started. And then notice, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. It's happened. Sin. I've quenched God's spirit, Christian. Non-Christian, I've just racked up another one, my very nature. I'm always doing what I want to do. There's no escape. I think there's no help. I'm always going to be destructive. I'm always going to defy God. I'm never going to do what's right. But for the believer, there's still hope because of what Jesus did on the cross. But do you see, even to follow through on that ungodly desire, before that sin, before it goes to full birth, there's still a chance. It would be like that guy in that farmer's market, in that jewelry shop. He can take that watch, put it in his pocket, and start heading for the door. But there's a chance. He can stop, take it out, and put it back, and it hasn't given birth. But the minute he walks out that door, he's arrested. Because what he doesn't know, that shop owner is busy with the customer, but there's hidden cameras, and there is a security guard right outside watching on his phone all those cameras, and he saw what's going on. And once he steps outside that shape, that shop, there's no turning back. And here the word of God says, understand that there is an opportunity for you. Recognize there is something in you when you keep finding, why do I keep falling in that area? You need help. There's a root there. Fourthly, in regards to temptation, here's this is pretty positive. We saw the negative. You know, before we grasp the good news and the help, we need to realize what the problem is. Why we need help. You know what? Every temptation has a limitation. There's a limiter. And it's not your Bible memory verse. It's not your reading scripture every day. It's not your church attendance and Bible study. There's a limiter to temptation, and his name is God. Because he is faithful when we are tempted. It's good to know the word of God, to be in the word of God, to surround yourself with godly people. But you and I know, or let me speak for myself, that does not stop my own heart from craving and desiring and having ungodly lusts and passions that would defy God, defy myself, and destroy everything good in my life. It's still there. But God, we see, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, the fifth part is temptation can be defeated until the next time. Do you know every single time you're defeated or every single time you're tempted, there's a way out, there's an escape, and most likely it's different than the last way out. God wants you so dependent on him in prayer. He wants you and I so much to have the help of the Holy Spirit. He says, each time you're tempted, the first inclination, Father, Abba, help, rescue, where's the way out? It can be defeated. And remember, struggling with the desire is not the problem. Taking the steps towards it, biting down on it. That's the problem. So notice what Paul says to the church at Corinth. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. That's the first warning. You think you got it licked? That area of weakness, that besetting sin, be careful. Always walk humbly with God. Always be grateful if you're doing well in that area. Be dependent on him. But the day you think, never have a problem again, it's saying you're setting yourself up. You're about to fall because of your arrogance and your pride. But lean into me. Call out to me daily, numerous times or a day. And whenever you think you're in a situation where, uh-oh, I know what this may lead to, you cry out. And as much as possible, never find yourself in the uh-oh position situations. That's where you have to be wise and not place yourself there. But notice the next verse. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. It's common. You think you're the only one, you're wrong. It's going on all over the place. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. It's a picture of him saying, in every temptation, and he says, especially I know your area of struggle because I know you. And my spirit lives in you if you are a believer. I'm faithful to you. And there has never been a time of temptation that I haven't provided a way of escape because I'm faithful. But have we asked? That's the whole thing about a way of escape. Are we seeking it? Are we knocking? Jesus says, that's the key when we say, Father, lead us not into temptation. Lead us out of temptation. He goes, oh yeah, I am God and I am faithful and I will do it. And you will be able to bear up of the weight of the pressure and the inner struggle for as long as you need to. Because I'm faithful and I'm strong. It's a picture of him like taking his shoulder, lifting it up over whatever that weight. And you say, I'm going to sin. No, you don't have to. Come on, let's go. Yoke up to me. Let's walk out of this. But it's a mile. Yeah, but I'm carrying you. That's the picture. So here, these next verses, these next pictures, these next areas regarding the Holy Spirit and temptation. How can the Holy Spirit help us? Look what Jesus says in John 14 and verse 16, just pulling out a few verses. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That word means you'll guard your heart, your mind, your love by my instructions now. Why? Because you know they're healthy. You know they're going to bless you in your relationship with the Heavenly Father vertically. And you know they're going to lead to healthy relationships with those around you. Jesus says, you know I'm giving my life for you, right? You know I'm bleeding out on a cross for you, right? I'm about to tell you what's going to happen as a result of that if you'll receive me and trust me. My spirit, the very presence of me, and he's talking to the immediate 12. I'm going to come inside of you. I'm going to seal you. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to help you. He goes, and I will ask the Father. And he will give you another helper. That's the word parakletos in the original language, meaning one who comes alongside as an advocate, a counselor, a helper, a strength to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. You see, in the times of temptation, what's coming at us from the outside? Lies. What's rising up from within us? Lies. But the Spirit of truth will tell you what? The truth. The world can't receive him, neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, referring to himself, and will be in you. That's why Jesus had to go to the cross, a grave, and was resurrected. And on the day of Pentecost, that Spirit marked, sealed every single Christian in that moment and ever since. Upon receiving and believing, you were marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a down payment of the inheritance, which is yours, eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And can I tell you, when temptation assails me, and it does, and I see the evil desire lurking within, want to rise up, there's nothing like the Word of God that I've read for 30 years since being a Christian, some memorized in those 30 years, others chewed on and understand the Spirit of God every single time will bring up truth. And in the midst of the temptation, John, buddy, son, knucklehead, here's what the Word of the Lord says. Here's the truth. Here's what's going to happen. Here's the real consequence. Come on. Step away. As a matter of fact, run. Too many times, I've hit delete on him and sinned. Missed the mark. Eyes wide open. Heart fully aware. Defying God. But he is faithful. Every single time. Just like Adam sinned, eyes wide open, since May of 1989. Every transgression against God has been with eyes wide open. And I'm ashamed to say that, but it's true. And it's true for you, brother and sister in Christ. Because God is faithful, and he tells the truth. And he says, that's just the way it is. But you know you didn't need to. Because I provided a way of escape. The helper, the Holy Spirit, to convict you, to tell you the truth, to help you, to be your advocate, to show you the way of escape, to get out this time. I have said these things to you, John 16:33, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. That's an all-encompassing world. That means you will have trials. You will have temptations. You'll just have day-to-day trouble. Flat tire, run out of gas, somebody vomited. But in this world, you will have all of that. But take heart. I've overcome the world. I'm the one who gives peace, who offers peace. Those lies will steal your peace, your joy. The Spirit will tell you. He will remind you. He is the helper. How else does he help us? In Galatians 5 and Romans 8. In our walk and in our prayer, we can fight. Why? Notice the Holy Spirit. But I say, this is Paul now to the church in Galatia, walk by the Spirit. In other words, keep in step with the Spirit. That's why we read. That's why we study. That's why we memorize. Because we're walking with someone. Jesus Christ, abiding in him. His Spirit in us. The helper, the advocate, he says, I will send another, the one just like me. He will supernaturally be in you. So walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires or the lust of the flesh, the ones that we all have. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. In other words, they're at war with each other. Praise the Lord. Because before there was no war, there was no battle. Now there's a war, and the Holy Spirit is going to battle for me. He's my advocate, and he's your advocate. He's the teacher. He's the helper. He's the counselor. He is strong, and I am weak. There's an opposition. There's a war going on the inside to keep you from doing the things you want to do. The flesh wants to keep us from the things we want to do, Christian. And what is that? To honor God. To live for him, to be pure. And the flesh wants to dishonor God, wants to lie, wants us to be flat on the mat, on the stands, not in the race. Romans 8:26, as Paul's teaching the church in Rome, those who are scattered, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he, referring to the Father, who searches hearts, knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for believers according to the will of God. That's why we pray. That's why we cry out. Instead of saying, I'm just going to give in, I have no help. He's saying, no, the Spirit within, he is right now waiting for you to say, Father, help. In that moment, he begins to intercede on your behalf and to share with you how to have victory, where the escape route is, how to run and flee. In that moment, he's so faithful. He's got a plan. The helper, the Holy Spirit, goes, you ask? I'm going to send him. He's going to rise up in that very moment. Oh, he's good. And then to close, one of the most helpful verses that transformed my life of prayer many years ago, as I'm sure transformed your life of prayer as well. Honesty and transparency, full vulnerability before God. Why? Notice in Hebrews chapter 4. How does Jesus help us? Since we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Do you believe Jesus is the only way to God? Do you believe Jesus is your sin bearer? Do you believe Jesus loves you? Do you believe Jesus resides in you by his Spirit? Do you believe that he's coming back again? Do you believe that he walks with you and is your helper, your advocate, your strength? He's the vine. Are you the branch? Do you believe these things? Yes. And he's at the right hand of the Father, even now, interceding. So let us hold firmly to him, the Son of God, the one whom we believe in and surrender to. For we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Do you see that? But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. No way. Oh, yes. Your worst thought and temptation came at Jesus. But he didn't linger. He didn't bite. Thank goodness. Because then he wouldn't be able to have died on the cross as our substitute. Because he would have been imperfect. Yet without sin. Let us then with confidence. Not pretending to be holy. Not to pretend to be perfect, not pretending you ought to hear me because I'm better than. But because we know we're weak in our weakness, because we know temptation assails, because we know we have roots, desires, unholiness in us that may be different than somebody else. So you draw near with confidence, with boldness to the throne of what? Grace. Which means unmerited help, God's favor. Why? To get what we need, we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow. Jesus says, ask, Father, lead me not in temptation. And he says, oh, he'll answer that every time because of the helper. The Holy Spirit. So keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Because he hears. And he's faithful. And provides a way of escape. Every time and unique to each time. So that's why every time we're tempted, we ask again. Jesus provided the way. Seek him. Meditate on him. Love him. Run after him. Be transformed by him. Father, I just thank you. Your word is such a help to us It is truth. Your Spirit is alive and dwells in us. And as we've read the scripture, there's Him saying, this is the answer for you. This is the help for you. My Father, Abba, He's watching. He loves you. He wants to deliver you. He is faithful to you. He provides way of escape, even for you, no matter how bad, no matter how tormented, no matter how many times you've fallen. Today, it will be different if we will but let the Spirit of God lead our lives, if we will but walk with Him, letting Him lead, and continually going with confidence, drawing near with reverence to our Father because of our High Priest Jesus, and find the help, the grace, the mercy we need in our weakness. Thank you for that faithfulness. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.